Today on Impact for Living, founder, sports and business leader, and pastor Scott Whitaker will challenge you to reach your God-given potential and impact, which you were created to have with and for Jesus Christ in the world. Now, here's Scott with today's message.
This morning, I want to read from 2 Corinthians. This is one of Paul's letters that he wrote, contained in the New Testament. Beginning in chapter 4, he writes this, "Therefore, we have this ministry by the mercy of God. We do not lose heart. But we have this treasure," and he means Christ, "in jars of clay," and that's us, "treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body." And he means then revealed in our body to the world. Well, Luke, many of you knew, is now gone. It's been a number of years since we lost him, back when he was one of our three beloved basset hounds, Pansy, Luke, and Lily. We lost all three of those precious pups to cancer over a period of just a couple of years. I remember holding him as he took his last breaths, and thereafter as a family buried him in the backyard. A few years before that, I watched Luke as a puppy, limping a bit when I would let him outside. Our vet told us that he had a problem with the growth plates in his front legs, causing them to be slightly crooked. But he pushed on through it, running and playing with our other basset hounds, although as time passed, he seemed a little slower, a little gimpier than before. I wondered how much longer he had without some surgery or some kind of treatment, or before someone, unsuccessfully I might add, tried to persuade me that it would be pointless to allow him to go on with his life with that deformity in his legs. As I continued to watch my courageous little friend through the years navigate the side porch steps and make his way around the yard with some pain at times, I might add, Tom Smith's words came to mind again. They were from the movie Seabiscuit, a true story set in the 1930s, which Linda and I had seen about that time. Tom Smith's words flooded my thoughts then, and they continued to, and they do today as I share them with you, when he said, "You don't throw a whole life away because it's banged up a little." Tom Smith was a thoroughbred horse trainer with a heart for resurrecting horses who had been abused or cast aside. He had defiantly offered those words as reason enough to persuade the man who had hired him as his trainer to save the life of a neglected and discarded horse by the name of Seabiscuit. A horse which had been overworked, beaten down, was small in stature, and had suffered a broken leg, who had been used to train other horses and always forced to lose when running against them. But Tom saw the potential of the huge heart planted within that little horse. So Tom was hired as the trainer by the owner of the stable, a man by the name of Charles Howard, who himself was struggling to overcome some pain and some failures in his past. So together, Tom and Charles Howard enlisted the services of another struggling soul, abandoned and orphaned as a young boy, and often defeated jockey by the name of Red Pollard, to take the reins of a small, 15 hands high horse named Seabiscuit. And they became the unlikely heroes and catalysts for a renewal of hope for millions of Americans struggling to survive and overcome the difficulties which engulfed them and this nation during a period which would become known as the Great Depression. For a number of reasons, our country and the lives of countless millions of our citizens turned the corner back then and became better together, as we have so many times before, and as we will in and through these times we are in the midst of today. And in large measure, as a nation, we rode into a bright new day of hope back then on the back of a beaten down, broken, crippled, and tiny horse with a big heart named Seabiscuit. He captured the hearts of a struggling nation by winning a match race at Baltimore's famed Pimlico Racetrack on November 1st, 1938, against Triple Crown winner War Admiral, considered by most horse racing fans in the know back then as a faster and stronger horse. And in that victory, Seabiscuit inspired a nation and reminded the millions who watched to reach beyond their difficulties and perhaps some banged up lives to once again find purpose for their next days and to become all they were created to be. It's a powerful message for us today, wherever we are and in whatever we face. Maybe we feel we're at a dead end in life or trying to figure out the way, standing at a fork in the road and not knowing which path to take. Maybe a family member is at that point and you're not sure how to help them. Maybe we're coming off some disappointing times and rainy days and find ourselves trying to dig down deep inside with the little energy that we seem to have left, looking for something to lift us just high enough to see the rainbow that is always just behind the rain. Now, I don't care what your politics may be, but you've got to admire the view that Hubert Humphrey held of the journey of his 66 years of life that he had been given. On occasions where he served as a U.S. Senator from Minnesota and then as the 38th Vice President of the United States, he let his light shine across the nation, especially near the end of his life, as he was nearing death, fighting against a cancer that would ultimately take his life. And with a smile of appreciation and resilience on his face, he whispered a truth for the ages when he said, "It's not what you've lost in life that counts. It's what you have left." In the scripture we read as we began, the Apostle Paul, imprisoned, cold and hungry, shipwrecked, beaten with rods and flogged over and over, reminded us that we are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed. A powerful reminder that no matter what we have been through in life, and no matter what we're facing, our whole life isn't over yet. And God is there to guide us through the rest. Whether we're banged up with cancer or losing our way, we're not done. Whether we're in the midst of seemingly one failure after another, with no light to be seen on the horizon, or fighting an addiction that we just can't seem to shake, even though we may be momentarily down, we're not out. Someone we know is struggling and we're not sure how we can help, or another is living with an emotional or physical illness that robs them of hope. In our better moments, we know that even though we may be confused and uncertain, with God at our side, we're not abandoned or in despair. Or maybe we're looking back on our life with too many regrets and wondering where all the years have gone and what we have done with them. We all do that. We do it all the time. We do it too much. But God, listen to me, God has already moved on from the past and is into today and our tomorrows as we face what is before us. God sees our future, and with Him, we are never defeated. And the one thing we cannot do when facing whatever and what's next, or find ourselves standing at that fork in the road again, what we cannot do is simply stand there. When we do, we begin to throw away day after day of the life that we have remaining, a life which God has given us to live out with and for Him and to make a difference in the world. The message of God and the example of a tiny horse named Seabiscuit rings clear. You don't throw away a whole life because it's banged up a little. Your life and mine are not over yet, and God has much more for us to do with and through Him for others, but we're called to move forward with Him. Or as Hubert Humphrey reminded us, it's not what you've lost in life that counts, it's what you have left. And he moved on. He wasn't done. He kept moving. Or as the Apostle Paul, who faced so much that none of us would have criticized him for quitting and stopping in life, yet he said, "We may be hard-pressed on every side, perplexed, persecuted, and struck down, but never crushed or in despair, not alone and never, ever destroyed or defeated, never done, never done." Instead, he pressed on and lived life for Christ till the end. My friends, it's our life to live. It's a gift from God. What will we do with it? With God in the lead in the days ahead. Never down, never out, never done. Press on. Let me pray for us. Father, thank you for the example of Seabiscuit, the Apostle Paul, Hubert Humphrey, and so many others, reminding us that no matter where we are in life, you are there and we are not done. We may be temporarily down, but we're never out. We may not know which way to go, but we are not done, and you will lead us in the path you want us to go. Thank you, Lord. Thanks for loving us. Thanks for all you do for us and with us. Thanks for lifting us when we can't take another step and reminding us through those lives and so many others that we are never done. We are to move on in life with you and for your glory and to impact the world around us for good with your Son in the lead. And it's in his precious name we pray. Amen. And amen.
We hope that Scott's message today has challenged and encouraged you. Thank you for being with us, and be sure to join Scott and Impact for Living next week for another faith-filled message focused on God's plan and purpose for your life.